Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Here with you on The Fan. 1 hour down, two more to go as I take until 5 o'clock. And the warm up show, 888-808-1019. So you heard Marco there. Look, I really think this is pointing towards Johnny Bryant being the next head coach of the New York Knicks. I think trying to get him before he took a Phoenix job is part of the reason Tibbs is out so quickly. Now that Ott has taken the job with Phoenix, it opens up that he's been here. They know him. He has a relationship with the organization and the team. He's one of the hot young executives. I keep saying executives. One of the hot young assistant coaches in the league. There are some names out there, obviously, that are different. And I do agree. Like, part of me, I have to admit, I waver on it. I wish I had more of a... I know it's sports radio. I'm supposed to give you a strong opinion. I do think this is a very difficult job for a first-time head coach, but I also don't think there's any other names out there that make me feel any better about their experience, because this is going to be a tough job no matter who takes it. I'll be totally honest with you. I know, you know, I mean, obviously for me, the one guy that would jump out to me as someone I'd be willing to take the shot on is Jay Wright. I don't even know if that's fair, other than, you know, selfishly, I happen to, like, know him like the tiniest little bit from his relationship with Mike and the years I worked with Mike. So I've dealt with Jay Wright on a couple of occasions, met Jay Wright on a couple of occasions. That probably should mean nothing, but he is a two-time NCAA champion. He's worked specifically with these guys, and his demeanor and the way he coaches, I think would fit in this city, fit with this team. That would be someone I'd be very, you know, coached at Hofstra, you know, knows, you know, Villanova, played at the Garden. Just, I think it makes a lot of sense, and it would be the perfect, that would be the one guy that would excite me, I guess, or really have me intrigued. I think it's a pipe dream. I don't think he has any interest in taking the job necessarily. I'm sure they're on the phone with him. I would think Brunson is at least trying to see if he would be interested. That's the one guy that has the experience. Like, listen, Malone did a really good job in Denver. That would excite me too. At least I'd be intrigued with Mike Malone. He did, you know, he's won a championship. He did work with a really good team and arguably the best player in the NBA in Jokic. But they had a fallen, you know, he had something going on with that team, but he's a local guy. Was a former Knick assistant. That would make a lot of sense for me. You know, Jenkins did a really good job with Memphis. Had to deal with a lot. Their superstar, you know, in trouble, out of the lineup, injured so often. And what he was able to do to keep that team together and then getting fired, what was it, 9 games left into the season was surprising. That would be a name that I could see and has some experience. And I think experience will help in this situation. But to me, and then you get to Jeff Van Gundy. Now, I know, look, I love Jeff Van Gundy. Loved him when he was a coach at the New York Knicks. How do you not? He got into the middle of that fight. Like, he was right after Pat Riley. He came from Pat Riley. The intensity, the defense, just who he was, the little fiery guy that he was. And he's done a great job, right? He's been, you know, after the great run of TV. And I'll tell you this, I still miss those commercials, those RV commercials. I thought he was tremendous with the dry humor on those RV commercials with the NBA on ESPN, where they would tour the country in those RV commercials. I missed those commercials. He was great. Plus, he was great on the broadcast. But now going back into, you know, the grind and assistant coaching, and, you know, did a great job with Boston, doing a great job with the Clippers. I don't want him because I don't believe things work again. I don't believe in coming back home. I don't believe in running it back. I don't believe that scenario would find a way to work here. He's a different person. This is a different team. It's a different organization. I can't imagine him coming back and making it work. I just can't. I don't know if he's ready for the grind. I know he's assistant coaching, but it is different. It's a different mental attitude. It's tougher. It's one thing to just, I'm sure he's doing work and working real hard and, you know, long nights and long days and all that, I'm sure, because that's who he is. But I just can't imagine him being ready for the mental grind that it is to be an NBA head coach for 82 games. And then the other element, which I don't know how it would play, but his relationship with Tibbs. And not that, look, Tibbs is getting paid a lot of money. And he did lose I don't know how awful he's being treated here. I think it's completely unfair, and I wish he was still the head coach. But I don't know if he's being completely railroaded or disrespected or treated awful. He's going to have $30 million to deal with being treated so awful by the New York Knicks. So I don't know how that dynamic would work with him taking over the job after Tibbs being fired and their relationship. But I don't see Jeff Van Gundy as an option, to be totally honest with you. I love Jeff. If it happened, I guess it would be easy to talk my way into sort of believing it, but I don't think it's going to, and it would not be anywhere near the top of my list. I would go with Bryant. I would go with Jenkins. I would go with Malone and obviously my pipe dream of Jay Wright or Spoelstra, and that's the other pipe dream. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I think he's become a little overrated. I think he's one of, I'm not going to go crazy and scream at you if you tell me he's the best coach in the NBA, but he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. And it does feel like it's hit its end with the Heat and him. Now, he won with the Big Three, and he won with LeBron James. He did take Jimmy Butler to NBA Finals. The last of it's been kind of ugly, and he just lost by, what, 50 points at home games in the playoffs? Like, it's not that he's a bad coach. He's a championship coach. He worked his way up from being a film room guy to being what he is today. I know a lot of people think that, you know, Riley's really the puppet behind it all, and how much credit, I don't believe in that. I think he's a great head coach. I would absolutely, that's as good a hire as they can make. Jay Wright, to me, is as good a hire as they can make. Malone is as good a hire as they can make. Jenkins is as good a hire as they can make, and I'll even take Bryant. So I don't have a strong opinion about the next coach because, honestly, I'm not sure what I'm looking for other than a guy who is going to make Karl-Anthony Towns better. Right, and I don't know how that works necessarily. How do you make Karl-Anthony Towns better? Because we've talked about him being soft. I know him and Tibbs didn't have a great relationship, but from a distance, as Knicks fans, did we blame Tibbs for Karl-Anthony Towns' failure or, you know, soft nature in Minnesota? Did we blame, you know, the other coaches he's worked with for that? I don't know. So I don't know what the magic formula is or who would have it or what makes them better, other than this is going to be a very difficult job. Very difficult.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And the one thing about a Jeff Van Gundy, I mean, if I'm going to, you know, do Evan a favor here and really go in depth about Jeff Van Gundy, is I do think it would be such a back into coaching, back into his probably dream job, and it would be balls to the wall with no real regard of being fired or fear of being fired. Like, this would be his last and final destination. If it works, great. If it doesn't, okay. Who cares? He's going to deal with the media with no pressure. He's not going to feel that. He's dealt with it before. It's not going to hamper him. It's not going to bother him. He's not going to take it, or he's not going to take the pressure of doing that overly, you know, weighing on him. It's going to be this last joyride of just, hey, I'm lucky to be here. It's going to end my career. Hopefully it's successful. If not, it's not. And he won't put a lot of pressure on himself. And maybe that's the kind of guy who would fit into what is a very pressurized job. So that would be the one aspect where I could see Van Gundy just coming in here with like, oh, what's the difference? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to, you know, give it everything I got. And if it doesn't work out, I'm cool. I wasn't expecting to get another head coaching job anyway. So that would be the one aspect of him, but I don't believe in retreads. I don't believe in bringing it back. I don't believe in, you know, bringing it home. I just don't. Yeah, I don't think you can go home again. So we'll see what they do. But for me, I think it's going to be Johnny Bryant. I have no problem with that, other than it's one hell of a tough spot for a young coach. It's one hell of a spot. And when you're a young coach taking over a team like this, or just, you know, getting your first job, you want to believe that the team has faith in you. You want to believe that there's some leeway, that they're going to work with you, that they're going to understand your first year head coach, that there's going to be a learning process, that there's going to be an ease into it. There is no ease into this. There is no learning process. There is no anything. He's got to win right away. Otherwise, it's a failure. And everyone right now who's clamoring for him, everyone, all the entire Knick fan base that is on the side of this was the right move and bringing a new coach, we are going to be freaking furious if they don't get back to where they were this year. And then we're going to be extremely disappointed and wondering whether or not we made a mistake if he doesn't get further than they did this year. It's just a tough spot. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Morty in Lakewood. What's up, Morty?
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Yeah, I just want to talk about the whole tip situation. Yeah. I just don't get it. If you could literally just explain it. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a diehard fan, but I'm definitely a fan. And, like, I know the Knicks haven't been so relevant, you know, in the past 25 years. Is that correct?
That's pretty much, well, the last five, I shouldn't even say that. The last two or three, they've been relevant. Since Jalen Brunson came here, they've been extremely relevant.
Exactly. And you were just saying that in New York, you know, if you don't win, then the whole thing's a failure, right? So, you know, I mean, Tibbs has done the best job, I mean, in the past 25 years. This is the closest they've gotten to, you know, the conference finals. So I just don't understand the whole thing. Like, no one even talked, let's say 2015, no one even heard, you know, no one knew what the Knicks were, you know?
No, well, we knew what they were, and thank you for the call, Morty. They were the worst franchise in the sport. That's what they've been for forever. So, look, here's what it is. Tibbs is a coach who's as good a culture builder, which I think is a term that we throw around too much, but he's as good as a culture builder as there is in the NBA. He is the guy who comes in. He's done it in multiple spots. He did it with the Knicks. He comes in, and right away, the uptick in the defense, the uptick in the physical play, the uptick in the effort and desire and culture of the team immediately changes. They get better. And then he takes them to a point and can't take them any further. That's been his perception before he even took the job. That was the kind of coach he was perceived to be. So now you fast forward the 5 years, four of those 5 years, he's made the playoffs. Three of those 5 years, he's won a playoff series, and now including getting all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years, there were issues with the team. There's issues with the minutes. There probably are some players, which I think happens with almost every team at the end of the year. There are some players who are unhappy with their roles and how they're used. There are superstars on this team that the GM decided to reshape the team and make them the focal point. And there are concerns that he can't work with those players, he can't make adjustments, and he can't figure out a way to get the best out of those players who aren't going anywhere. So that's a quick summary of why Tibbs is out on his ass. Despite the level of success that he has reached, that Larry Brown couldn't reach, that, you know, countless coaches, Mike D'Antoni, all these coaches couldn't reach, that Phil Jackson couldn't reach. Rose and Tibbs together built this thing up to a point where we're bing-bonging ourselves to the street in 7th Avenue after beating the defending champion Boston Celtics to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that wasn't good enough. And if that's not good enough, what does the next guy have to do? Let's go to Jose in Waterbury. What's up, Jose? Jose.
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm blessed. I just want to make three quick points, and then I'll get off and hear what you have to say.
All right, thank you.
Real quick. Number one, I think Mark Jackson will be a good candidate for the coaching job. That's just my personal. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I think he'd be good for the Knicks, especially for Brunson, since he has a point guard mentality. Number two, I was stating he was four Tibbs at the end of the game after they lost, and then them moving Tibbs. I find it hard to believe the Knicks would not pay attention to their best player.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, was he sincere in what he was saying?
Yes.
And the Knicks just disregarded him, or was he just saying what sounded good because he's good at doing that? And the last point I wanted to make, I wasn't sure, and I know you're very knowledgeable. So when Tibbs was in Minnesota and Tibbs was in Chicago, did he use his bench on those teams? Because I don't remember. I'm being honest.
No.
Okay.
He did not. As much as maybe some other teams do, and some I don't. There were some guys on the bench that were good, but he had a competent enough roster, a roster that won 61 games. Though he was extremely successful there, winning a lot of games. The minutes was an issue for him back then. This is not new with the New York Knicks. That is fair. But again, it's not that just because he played the same way in Chicago, and that's really where it started. I got to be honest with you, out on the West Coast with Minnesota, I don't remember if it was as, I'm sure it was. I haven't heard a single person point to the amount of minutes he played his bench in Minnesota, so I'm sure it was the same thing. But in Chicago, when that team was turning itself into, you know, the one seed and 60 wins, and Rose was going to be, you know, MVP, and thank you for the call, Jose. And, you know, Rose was going to be the MVP, and or Rose was the MVP, rather. And Rose was going to be the next big star of the NBA. When he was doing all that, yeah, I mean, listen, he didn't play his bench all that much. They won a lot of games. And then they didn't get past the point. That is true. There is evidence of him plateauing at some level. But also, it's not like we have seen that group then go on, another coach come in and play the bench, and suddenly take that group somewhere else. Now, they had great players. You know, Butler emerges even after Rose has his knee injuries, and it never worked there, even after he left. And there's no doubt he would have to adapt. And I understand you can point back to the idea that he was the same in Chicago, he was the same in Minnesota, he's the same. And I get it. And that's probably why they fired him. But, again, I just think Tom Coughlin was the same in Jacksonville. Then Tom Coughlin was the same for the first couple of years with the Giants. If, you know, if you're not 5 minutes early, if, you know, you're late. And Coughlin time and all the different stuff that started to erode when he recognized he needed to. And I just find it hard to believe that Tibbs couldn't, and it's not just about the bench, it's about offense, it's about different things. Like, I just find it hard that Tibbs couldn't have got more out of a group if they gave him more players next year, if they revamped and reshaped this bench, if he had another offseason of completely dedicating himself to figuring out how to make Karl-Anthony Towns better. Like, I just find it hard to believe it couldn't have happened. And that the level of success they had wasn't enough to at least see if he was capable. Because I don't know what the other coaches are capable of. I know what he did for this team. I don't know what Johnny Bryant's going to do for this team. I just don't know. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. Talk a little Mets. As the New York Mets did take or have taken the first two of this four, the two of three in this four-game set. They'll finish it up later today. Big home runs from Pete Alonso, who, after a little bit of a lull, I mean, I wouldn't even call it a slump, but not performing the way he did at the very start of the year where he was a house of fire. I do believe he has 53 RBIs now after two home runs and five RBIs in yesterday's game, which is right at the top of the National League. The New York Mets make a statement against the Dodgers, and not just that they're, you know, capable of playing them, because, you know, this is baseball. Dodgers are dealing with a lot of injuries right now, but I don't think at any moment did I ever feel that the Mets couldn't compete with the Dodgers in a seven-game series. But what they're making a statement with, again, for me, is what they're doing with the pitching. It's hard for me to say anything else when they go into the Dodgers. As I watched, as a Yankee fan, Max Fried get hit around the ballpark against this team. As you watch Shohei, and you watch Mookie Betts, who is back in the lineup for this series after stubbing his toe, and you watch Freddie Freeman, and you see this deep lineup, and even Max Muncy, who did kill them in the one game they lost with a couple of multiple home runs, including a game-tying one in the ninth. Like, you watch this lineup and how good it is, and how deep it is, and how ferocious it is, and then they throw out Paul Blackburn, and they throw out Griffin Canning coming off his worst start as a Met against the White Sox. And to watch these guys just dominate last night, six shutout innings for Griffin Canning, locating that slider, you know, getting that the changeup back on track after a weak start against Chicago. Like, it's just amazing what they're doing. We know Pete Alonso can hit home runs. We know Lindor is good. But that pitching staff is outrageous. And then even the other night, we didn't get to talk about it because I did mostly Tibbs, or pretty much all Tibbs that show. But Reed Garrett and what he's meant to the bullpen right now, and the performance he gave you the other night, the pitching that this franchise right now, the lab, is doing is amazing. And then the other aspect of that game, Juan Soto starting to look like himself. 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little Mets when we come back. We'll take your phone calls on it. I got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Knicks, Mets, a little bit of Yankees as they got completely shut down by Luis Ortiz and the Cleveland Guardians. They lose the middle game of the series, and they'll have Max Fried in what is an interesting start for Max Fried later today. He's had an incredible season, and even if he has a down start, I don't know how much weight you put on it, but he's coming off his worst start of the year against the Dodgers. You'd like to see him bounce back and have that be a footnote and not the start of a downturn off of an incredible, incredible run to get the year to start the year. So we'll talk. We can talk about that, a little bit of baseball at the Mets and Yankees, and of course, Tibbs, the Knicks, who's the next head coach. Who do you want to see coach this team? And do you agree with me what an incredibly tight spot you are putting in this next head coach who has to make it to the NBA Finals or he's a loser?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
All right, back with you, 3:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. And yeah, the Mets last night take down the Los Angeles Dodgers 6-1 as Pete Alonso drives in five with two bombs, especially that second one late where he seals the game. 443 feet, an absolute bomb to deep left center field, and he's getting hot again, which, I mean, listen, when this, you know, he was carrying the Met offense early on in the year. He's kind of, again, slump is probably strong, but he's not been that same hitter and hitting his, you know, many home runs as he was at the start of the year. He's cooled off a little bit. He had the longest stretch of his career without a home run in the middle of all this, but he's back now. He is smashing the baseball. He played great defensively, especially in the Colorado series, so he's back on track, but to me, that's not even the talking point of the game. Pete Alonso hits home runs. That's what he does. Right? He's having a great year, don't get me wrong. Huge to drive in five of the six runs in this game. He's certainly one of the stars of this game, but to me, there's two talking points that honestly, especially, you know, one, legitimate baseball, and two, for what we do here, The two talking points in this game are, one, first and foremost, Griffin Canning, who, again, for me, of the entire pitching lab, and we heard more about it, how they actually took Juan Soto in because he wanted to get better with his throws from the outfield. The pitching lab can even help your outfielders make better throws. But to me, exhibit A of how great the Mets pitching lab is Griffin Canning. I've been saying this a long time. I am absolutely floored at what he's become. They have been able to transition some aging pitchers who had, you know, great moments in their career but lost it, like Severino and Manaea, who apparently is getting ready to start a rehab assignment. It'd be nice to get him back. There was also news on the Vientos injury. It's a mild grade hamstring, so hopefully it's 2 weeks and he could be back. We'll see. Hamstrings are tricky, but hopefully it's 2 weeks and he's back with the New York Mets. But Griffin Canning is a different, like, it's different to me. I mean, even what we see with and how Clay Holmes continues to pitch well for the Mets, you know, I've been a Clay Holmes supporter since he was traded over to the Yankees in 21. He has been an all-star pitcher on two separate occasions. He's got great stuff. He's a little bit of a head case and had issues with the ninth inning and closing ball games for the Yankees, but his stuff has always been really good. That sinker is excellent. His slider, when it's on, as long as he's not, you know, hanging it, which he's done too many times, and it'll hurt you in one instance of a ninth inning. You have more time to actually find it and work on it through the course of a game as a starter. As impressed as I am with what they've turned him into as they're transitioning from reliever to starter, I knew he was good. Griffin Canning hasn't really shown the ability to get outs at the level he's getting outs with right now at the major league level. And coming off the worst start of his career as a Met against the White Sox, he goes into Dodger Stadium off of that night last night, right? Or the other night. They lose that game the other night where they're down early. They come back. Big home run from Soto. They take the lead on Nimmo beating out a ground ball. They get an incredible pitching performance from Reed Garrett, who has second and third, nobody out, with Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez? I forget who was after Freddie, but you pretty much get Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani on third and second. Nobody out with a one-run lead in the eighth inning, or the seventh inning, whichever inning it was. And Reed Garrett just goes, you know, through it, gets the strikeouts he needs, an incredible pitching performance. And then, obviously, as a down bullpen, Barazabon has to come out in the ninth. He gives up the home run to Muncy. You lose an extra innings. It's a gut punch. It's not a terrible loss, right? You won the night before. You're feeling good about how you're playing. It's extra innings again. You battled back from being down early. McGill gave you a reasonable start, a pretty damn good start, actually, if you think about it. He was bad early on, gave up runs early, and then really settled down and was able to give that shortened bullpen some depth and some innings. But they were forced to go to Brazoban, who threw 30 pitches the night before. He gives up the home run. You lose in extras off that weird play where I don't know what Nimmo was doing. And you bounce right back, and you come out, and Alonso hits the home run early, and Griffin Canning just absolutely shuts down this Dodger team. A Dodger team that Max Fried could not shut down. A Dodger team that Ryan Yarbrough was able to shut down, amazingly enough. But an incredibly good, that was without Mookie Betts too. Mookie Betts back from his injury. Them coming off a big time come from behind win at home, had already lost the series at Citi Field, wanted to make a statement again here against the Mets. And he just absolutely shuts them down. It's incredible what he's doing right now. Incredible. I am absolutely floored with how good Griffin Canning is. And then you look at this series, it is a win for this pitching staff. It is a win for David Stearns. It is a win for what they're doing as an organization when they can come in against the Los Angeles Dodgers and throw Paul Blackburn, his first start back from injury, hadn't pitched since last August, and he comes in and shuts them down. Then you get Griffin Canning off of a bad start against the White Sox, who comes in, and the moment's not too big for him in a Met uniform, and is dotting the outside and just throwing great pitches with his slider. He gets Ohtani looking after falling behind 3-1 on back-to-back pitches on the inside corner. Like, he was just out there dealing. It's incredible. Every time you turn around, you're getting another surprising start. There's been a couple of duds along the way. They haven't been as perfect as they were at the start of the year. Obviously, McGill has given them a couple of clunkers. As I said, Canning wasn't great against the White Sox. But, man, oh, man, the idea they walked into a four-game set with the first three games being Paul Blackburn off injury, McGill and his miserable May, and then Griffin Canning off his worst start as a Met, and they got three really well-pitched games and two absolute gems to shut down the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's very impressive what they're doing. It is very impressive. Yeah, there's really nothing else to say. It's just it's a massive feather in the cap again. And this is, you know, look, I know the Yankees lost to them in the World Series, and I know I downplayed that series between them. The tiebreaker is way down the list. And the likelihood of playing them, they have to get into the World Series before I would even have to think about the Dodgers. Who knows when the Mets would have to play the Dodgers? Who knows what round? Who knows if you're obviously head-to-head, the Mets have now, with this win and splitting this four-game set, have guaranteed themselves home field advantage in any tiebreaker against the Dodgers and have won the season series. And we'll look to go out today and make a further statement. But honestly, you never want to, you know, certainly there's no such thing as house money, and I'm not saying it's okay to lose, but you've kind of done what you needed to do. You've kind of already accomplished the goal, which was to win the season series against this Dodger team, come out here and take a split of four games in Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine, and win a tiebreaker, feel good about yourself again, get really well-pitched games, shut down this Dodger team. And then the other aspect of it, now you're seeing Pete Alonso awaken, and you're seeing Juan Soto awaken. And it is amazing to me, as if you watch this game, it started to come on a little bit. You know, he had the good series against Colorado, back-to-back games with a home run. His OPS is already back up over 800, as last night he drives in a run on a ground ball in the first inning of this game. He ends up with three walks in this game. Again, his OPS is back over 800, which is, I'll doubt if it ever sees below 800 again this series. But more than that, and this is amazing, that this is a legitimate talking point because it did disappear. I can't explain it. None of us know why, but we saw the legit Soto shuffle last night in this game. And it almost feels like a silly thing to say, but at the same time, it's not. We saw Juan Soto not only walk three times, but give you that. He spit on a pitch down and in, and he gives you the Soto shuffle. On a couple of other pitches, he gives you that half, you know, the front foot out of the box and just staring at the pitcher. On the walk, he kind of never turns his body towards first and kind of, you know, shuffles while looking at the pitcher, staring the pitcher down on the walk to first base. That is the body language that the New York Yankees saw every game last year. I mean, that's what's weird about it. The Soto shuffle didn't come and go as he was being successful. The Soto shuffle wasn't, oh, he's really feeling it. Here's the Soto shuffle. The Soto shuffle was there for slumps. The Soto shuffle was there during hot streaks. The Soto shuffle was there in the first inning. The Soto shuffle's there in the ninth inning. Like, it was just a part of his everyday game. And I can't explain why we haven't seen it as much. And I know this isn't the first night we saw it, but I can't explain why we haven't seen it all that much, but it feels like actual news, and that's crazy talk, but it feels like something actually tangible to say. Last night, I saw a bunch of that kind of body language, and then you look at what happened on the dugout, and Luis Angel Acuña was, I believe it was Luis Angel Acuña, I was watching a couple of different things. He was the one with the helmet, and he was having fun being a catcher in the dugout. They were laughing around. They were yucking it up. They're up on the Dodgers. Then they're up 6-1 late on the Dodgers. They're having fun. They're doing the bottle toss, and none of them can seem to land the Poland Spring bottle, and then Soto does it, and he's laughing and running through the dugout. There was joy from Juan Soto. There was joy in that dugout. There was joy with this team. And while I'm not going to make too much of a big deal out of it, it's something, I'm not saying this team entirely was joyless this entire year, because they're not. They have a great vibe. They have, you know, it's, last year was a crazy OMG thing, and you can't compare year to year. Last year's vibes felt a little bit different. It was just getting started this time last year, those vibes. But yeah, at times last year at the end of the season, the vibes felt a little different than this team's vibes have felt. But that's not to say they haven't had fun. But Juan Soto has looked and felt like he has not enjoyed himself just yet. And it's, and again, I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I have never said it's because he hates being a Met or because he is desperate to still be a Yankee and he's, you know, regretting his decision. I've never said that. But it's hard to deny that the body language has indicated, for lack of a better term, unhappiness or something going on with him. Just not that same fun-loving, pure joy in playing baseball that the Yankee fans experienced all of last year. It just hasn't been there yet. And last night, I don't know what it was. I don't know why it felt different to me, because we have seen the Soto shuffle a little bit at times over the last few weeks. But the Soto shuffle, and then his body language on the walks, it looked like him. And then he's having a real good time in the dugout, being part of, and again, not that he hadn't done that either, but last night it all kind of just came out. Last night they go into the best team in baseball, the super team. Yeah, they've got some injuries in the pitching staff, but still, the super team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, this great, you know, top of the lineup that we don't shut up about. And they go in there after taking the series in Citi Field, and they're yucking it up with a 6-run lead, beating up on the Dodgers. Soto's body language feels completely different. They're playing the cup flip. They're playing the Poland bottle flip game like my kid's baseball team does in the dugout. And it just felt like that's what you wanted to see from this Met team. That's what you wanted to see from Juan Soto. It's what you expected to see from him all year long. And I never really had a doubt we would see it. And he still, again, has a lot to, you know, I mean, he's still only hitting 230. His OPS is only right around 800. Those are not typical Juan Soto numbers. He's going to have to still continue to impact the baseball, but a couple of games with home runs, home run in this series, 3 walks in this game, that is Juan Soto. That is Juan Soto. And if Pete Alonso is going to take off again and Juan Soto is in the midst of finding himself and this pitching staff continues to do what it does, the Phillies lost the game in the bottom of the ninth to Toronto, so they pick up another game on Philly. They are in first place. They are beating up on the Dodgers. Alonso's hitting home runs. The pitching lab is doing above and beyond what you could possibly fathom them doing, beating the Dodgers with Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning and getting out of jams, even though they lost that game, getting out of jams with the middle of that lineup up a run late in the game with second and third, nobody out. I mean, they are finding ways to win. They are bludgeoning them with home runs, and you are seeing Juan Soto acting and feeling like Juan Soto and playing like Juan Soto, which is ultimately the most important point. So that is a fun couple of days here in Dodger Stadium out west for them on these late night Coast baseball games, which I personally love. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I know most people have work in the morning or whatever. A lot of people don't stay up for these games necessarily. Well, if you didn't, you missed the fun one. You missed an absolute bomb from Pete Alonso, and you missed Juan Soto yucking it up with the fellas. And it just feels like we haven't seen that. I mean, let's be honest, questions all year long about if he's involved in celebrations and like the endless nonsense that we go over all this stuff. And I never bought into any of that, but I have to admit, as someone who wanted Juan Soto on his team desperately. Someone who watched every single one of his at-bats last year when he was a Yankee, he has looked different. I'm not telling you why, and I'm certainly not trying to be a jerk Yankee fan and telling you we all know why. I don't know why. I don't. But I can tell you he walked three times, he's hit home runs, and damn it, if last night Juan Soto didn't look like Juan Soto. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, continue to take your calls. We can get into the Yankees a little bit as they got completely shut down. The offense was asleep last night as Luis Ortiz just absolutely dominated them in every way. A couple of double plays whenever they did get somebody on, but shut out for only the second time this year. And Clark Schmidt gave up some runs early and then kind of settled down, but one of those nights where they just didn't play well, and now they have Max Fried on the mound tonight trying to win the series against Cleveland and hoping to bounce back from really his only bad performance he's had all year. Actually, let's take a call here before we go to break then. Let's go to Brad in Livingston. What's up, Brad?
Hey, how you doing, C-Mac? Listen, I just got to say something. You know, I'm just vibing with you right now. Listen. And it's just so funny. I just put some Folgers on. I'm just about to have my first cup of coffee for the day, and I haven't even slept. I watched every pitch for the New York Mets since 1977. Okay, I haven't.
Look at you.
I'm not even married. I'm just listen. They're my life. I'm married to the game. You know
That's
what I'm saying,
you're
C-Mac?
You're married to the game.
And here's the thing with the whole. With the whole Soto stuff on, and I get it, I get the act, but it's just the fact that we got this guy, it's like, I'm looking at summertime coming up, look, I'm getting giggly, you know, it's just so exciting, and listen, you know, it's just, all these years of just the nonsense, you know, it's like, we can't get out of our own way, we got the Wilpons, and we got all these bums coming in where we're paying all this, and now we got the cream of the crop. It's just, listen, if anybody deserves it, it's me, you know? I gave up family. I gave up the career. I'm just chasing the ring at this point, C-Mac, and I'm along for the ride. So, anyways, listen, you keep it up. You're doing a great job, C-Mac.
Oh, thank
you, Brad. Yeah, I'm just, you know,
hang
up
and
listen,
you to know
though,
that
right?
We appreciate it. We appreciate all your sacrifices. We appreciate everything that you have done to be the dedicated Met fan that you are. I hope you that
I hope you know that
doesn't go unnoticed and it doesn't go appreciated.
I appreciate it.
Because
really
you could have easily taken the path. No, really, and thank you for the call, Brad. Because you could have easily taken the path that most people go down and tried to find a companion for the rest of your life and started a family and had a job. You could have done that. You could have easily went down that road, that trap that most people fall into, that hinder their ability to watch every pitch since 1977, but not you. Not you, Brad. Damn it, you weren't going to be denied, and I couldn't respect you more for it. I couldn't respect you more for it, because I'm telling you right now, 3 o'clock tomorrow, I want to go to the Yankee game tomorrow. I want to be like you, Brad. I want to go to the Yankee game tomorrow. I want to have a great time watching Max Fried on the mound beat the Cleveland Guardians. I want to enjoy myself. But my son has a kindergarten, not quite a graduation, but some sort of ceremony at 3 o'clock, and I got to go to that. And that's the life I chose, Brad. That's what I did. I took my eye off the prize and didn't focus on just being a Yankee fan. And I got married and had kids. I went that route. I chose a career. But not a day goes by, Brad, that I don't think of how my life would be if I didn't make the decisions you made. Not a day goes by. Thank you, Brad. Feels good to know there is someone out there living our dreams of having one sole purpose in life to watch every inning of the New York Mets. Oh, wait, that's Evan Roberts. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Okay. Oh, Moose is back. Moose in Jamaica. I thought that's my fault, Moose. I thought you dropped. What's up, buddy? How are you?
No, I guess my AirPods dropped. Well, hold on. First, let me address you properly. Big Daddy C-Mac.
Mm-hmm.
What's good, bro?
What's going on, Moose? How are you?
I'm chilling. I came from the Yankee game. It wasn't dead. The Yankees were fickle because we lost, and I actually showed up after it was already 3-0 because I came from somewhere that I couldn't miss. Get a haircut, shower, get to the game. I live in Queens. You know the commute. Regardless.
Yes,
I'm actually here to talk about Thibodeau.
Okay.
Now, I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan with objective shades. Right? So the whole firing was a little bit peculiar, but I understand. The concept of Thibodeau not developing a bench or going with a bench rotation might have cost some legs in the postseason, and the whole whole reputation of Thibodeau not bringing a team to the promised land everywhere he's been may have led to the fire. Now, that brings me to this point. If somebody who brought you from nothing to something, to quote a fabulous album, represent Brooklyn, even though I'm from Queens, shout out to Brooklyn. Where are you going to go now, Knicks, to sort of bring you to the promised land? Because you're almost there. And regardless of the favorite concept of the Knicks being over the Pacers, it was more or less that the Pacers showed that they wanted it more to get to the finals, maybe because of the tired legs of the starters and not having a bench, but that's Leon Rose swinging for the downs to bring in Karl Anthony Towns and Bridges. So as a neutral to the whole, because I once was a Knicks fan, stopped being a Knicks fan once the GMs and the coaches of the 2000s, because I was a Knicks fan in the 90s, I'm 35, born in 89. So to explain this, I lost faith in the Knicks because they lost their direction. It took Leon Rose to give them some direction so Knicks fans have faith. Don't start screaming. Yeah.
Okay, so I get you. You're in a Leon, in Leon Rose we trust. Got it.
For Knicks fans, I'm still riding with my Brooklyn Nets because I decided to not be a flip-flopper and ride through this losing.
I
listen to Nets
good
games, and I got to be down. I'm not going to flip-flop.
I hear you.
I made my decision.
Thank you for the call, Moose. I appreciate that. Look, I do trust Leon Rose. I do. And that's the one thing, you know, keeping me from really being just apoplectic about it, is I do trust Leon Rose. And he's closer to the team than I am. And if I'm going to say, hey, all you armchair quarterbacks out there saying, oh, they should have made this adjustment, they should have made that adjustment, you don't know, you know, basketball as nearly as well as Tibbs do, I have to be fair and say, well, look, I'm not as close to the team as Leon Rose is. And if he honestly believes that this is going to help them win a championship, I'm almost, you know, I guess I'm glad he made the decision. I don't know. I disagree with it. I have a real hard time having the same assessment that he does, but I do appreciate how quickly he made the decision, the balls it takes to make the decision, because let's be honest, it's easy to just keep.
But C-Mac, let me stop you right there. Who's to say Leon Rose made the decision?
Well, that
might have been.
No, I get you, Moose, and I'm sorry, but I got to let you
know. Might have been Dolan.
Break. Yeah, it could have been Dolan. I got to assume that it wasn't. I have to assume it was Leon Rose. And it's a ballsy move. I just don't think Leon Rose came in. He was an agent. He's got tons of money. Like, I just don't think Dolan's holding anything over his head. I think if he really didn't want to fire Tibbs, I think he'd walk. I don't know. And Dolan hasn't really done this since hiring Phil Jackson. He hasn't been that kind of owner. I think this was a Leon Rose decision because he wants to win a championship, and he made a decision. And I respect it. It's a ballsy decision. It would have been easier to stick with Tibbs. He would have got less flack for it, but He did what he thought was right. We'll find out if he is. 888-808-1019. I disagree, and I'm very nervous at the spot they're putting this new head coach in, whoever it's going to be, whether it's a first-time head coach like Bryant or if it's going to be someone like Malone who's won a championship or someone with more experience or someone with a big sexy name or whatever the case may be. They better freaking win. They have to get to an NBA Finals just to justify it. That is not an easy spot to be in. And don't ask me, ask Rick Pitino, said the same thing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.